Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Pharrell on a bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out of bed, seated broken, ate a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Quicken Loan Studios in New York City. Ooh. National Mortgage Lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. People dress and pass bags, direct to drive in some kind of fashion. Shake it up, should do better. All my friends that come around, fight to fight the party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs up down. What a mess, it's a ton of tatter. My brains are splattered all over Manhattan. Should do better. Are you with us tonight from New York? All right, 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. You got to admit, Mafia, that was clutch. The guy from Japan had the lead. He, I think, won the gold medal in the last Olympics, and he had the lead. And your boy, Shaun White, in his second run, fell down after a great run. His last trick, he blew out. So they gave him a 55, which stunk. His first one was a 94.5. So he needed to have at least like a 97, right, to win it. And he, in his last attempt, third and final run, he went Calypso Bay and just went off, getting massive big air and landing all of his tricks. Let's just say his bag of donuts. And I'll tell you what, he landed it all and finished, I think, at 97.5 and beat him and won the gold medal. How great is that? 97.75 on a final run to win the gold medal in the half pipe. He's a badass. That's all there is to it. At his age, too, I don't even know what he is now, but I mean, he's been around forever. And for him to go to Pyeongchang and win gold, I think is a great story. I just think it's fantastic. He's 31 years old. And, you know, that's a young kid's sport, right, isn't it? The snowboarding and half pipe and all that. What?
All those X Games things. I mean, you had the two Americans that won that were like 17 each. So for 31, he's been there, you know, four Olympics now.
That's just crazy. I'm happy for him. Not that it matters, but I've told you many times I know him. He's a cool dude. He's been on my show a million times. And I did the Tony Hawk Stand Up for Skate Parks event with him in Beverly Hills and Vegas. Great guy. He was great to my kid. He gave my kid, snowboards, skateboards, all that signed. He's got it in his room. It's crazy. The Flying Tomato Carver High coming through tonight in the clutch. And you were all over the Americans there, rooting for only the red, white, and blue.
That's all I root for, baby. I love seeing him win it, no matter who it was. But being Shaun White, that's even better. So
you were all on the Americans there. You even liked the kid that finished with that nice little 90. He had ran a little 90 in his third run there, the one kid no one's ever heard of.
I always root for the red, white, and blue. That's it.
Now, did you say to me that there was going to be some kind of hockey or something tonight, or is that over?
The next two nights, we have 10:30 hockey. Not tonight. Tomorrow night, the women are playing at 10:30. Thursday night, the men's are playing at 10:30.
So I have a question for you. All right, so just while I have it here, because I saw your boy Barzal play tonight, right? He did play tonight, but remember I had the story in there saying that he got benched.
Well, this was Sunday night.
Take me back to that benching. What happened?
Benching. I mean, he didn't play in two situations in the last 10 minutes Sunday night that he normally plays in.
Why?
Waite says that he didn't like the way he was playing in the game. I guess he had a couple giveaways, and he didn't play him on the power play, which is where he's played all year with Tavares and Lee and those guys, and they had a 6-on-5 in the last minute against Calgary where normally he's the extra attacker that jumps on with those guys, and
right,
he was not on Sunday. But he played tonight. He played his full complement. They were terrible.
They said he was playing soft. They said he was slow. A big part of the game is playing down low and battles and winning that kind of stuff. So I wasn't doing that Sunday. And so they were like, you're going to do it either our way or no way.
There's been a few games the last 2 weeks where he's looked a little tired.
So are you suggesting that he could be hitting a wall?
He looked okay tonight. I mean, the team was terrible, but he didn't look terrible.
So at one point tonight, you said that you felt that it's time for Snow to go.
Well, I've thought the time was.
But not wait?
I think everybody should go.
Fire all of them.
I would clean the whole place out tomorrow morning. I would get rid of everybody.
Right now.
With what they've scored so many goals this year, for what they've done on the defensive end is inexcusable. And that goes back to, at some point, you know this rule, you can't fire the players, right? You can't fire the players.
Right.
Well, you're in a situation where you could still make the playoffs. You're right there. Everybody's jumbled up. We've seen this in the past. Look at teams. The Penguins have changed coaches in the middle of the year and went on to
win
the Cup.
Stanley Cup.
The Devils that 1 year changed coaches and put Larry Robinson and they won the Cup. I'm not saying the Islanders would win the Cup if they changed their coach right now. I'm just saying maybe it would give them that boost where they would actually be a playoff team. I just think the whole situation right now is bad. Everybody should be cleaned out of there.
So Wade said at the time, it's who's going to score for us. So Barzal just threw the puck away three times on the last power play. We had meetings between periods showing what's going on and what we expect to exploit. So that's not a teaching tool. That's not a young guy. We're going to really teach him a lesson. He's going to be a pro for 20 years.
Yeah, but here's the problem with Wade. He could say those things, and I get he's trying to teach a young player a lesson, and he loves to say the word accountability, you know, before and after the games and at the morning skate. But then he's got guys like Jason Chimera who in the same game gave a puck away, took a bad penalty, and nothing happens to those guys. Brock Nelson all year, I know he had the hat trick last week against Detroit, but aside from that, he's been terrible all year. There's never a big accountability sit down with those guys. So now you take a kid who's been one of your two or three best players all year and you sit him down when you need a goal? I don't like it. It's just, it's dumb.
See that? Carver High, ladies and gentlemen. Mafia is in here tonight. Mafia, I told you I was taking a shower tonight, and by the time I shampooed my hair, the Rangers were down 3-0 on Don LaGreca's birthday.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. They had a terrible start to the game. They're coming back now. They're down 3-2, so they're trying to make a comeback and get back into this like the Islanders have done a lot of times this year. But, I mean, you know, I had my internet off for a little bit, working out at the gym, going to the shower, and by the time I got out, first alert was, okay, down 1-0 within like 3 minutes of the game starting. Then 2-0. Then 3-0 within like the first 7 minutes. It's ridiculous. They just, it doesn't matter if they're a couple points out of a playoff spot. Your boy High Heat was texting me on the drive in, and I told him, it doesn't matter if we're 3 points out or 4 points out, whatever it is, blow it up. You're not going anywhere if you do make the playoffs. It's not worth it. Get what you can for the guys you have and rebuild.
So let me go back to this guy, Sean White. Didn't he have, remember he got busted? Didn't he get a DUI or something? Didn't he have all kinds of problems like in between these Olympics and then he got his act together again? Isn't that basically what it boils down to? It's quite a story, right? He had like screwed up his life a little bit after all the pressure, all the fame, all the money, all the glory, all the X Games, all the Olympics. And then it all got to him, right? And then what? He got his act together and came back and got glory and a goal at Pyeongchang. Are you kidding me? Are you seeing these moves he pulled off on that third run? Like, these are the sickest. I mean, is that not the sickest snowboarding moves you ever seen in your life? This guy gets more. I mean, the amount of air he gets is insanity. How is it that he gets up so high and higher than everybody else? I mean, like, it's obvious how much higher he gets than everybody else. Even at 31, that's crazy. He's just got to have the most powerful legs ever, right, to do that? Isn't it really all in the torso and lower body and legs that you get that kind of air? I mean, these tricks he's pulling off are just scintillating. I mean, sensational stuff, like just sickening. I love it. I cannot get enough of watching this guy do his thing. That is just awesome, dude. Way to go. John Harper joins us tonight from the Daily News. Baseball's back. Pitchers and catchers have reported. And there's a lot going on, including the Yankees basically are throwing the gauntlet down that they're going to win it all. And Justin Verlander is laughing at that kind of talk. I think your boys on MLB Network were saying it's automatic.
They threw the gauntlet down. The Yankees didn't throw the gauntlet down. They did.
I mean, Boone's going around saying we gotta have high expectations, championship or bust.
He's right.
I don't have a problem with that.
They're the New York Yankees.
So I still don't think at this point that they're better than the Astros. I'm not willing to do that. I thought they had a great season, great playoff run, young kids. They had a great experience. I still think the Astros were better, and they beat them, and they won the World Series. So I'm leaving it at that. We'll talk to John Harper about everything going on with the pitchers and catchers reporting. And then that's first up here in a few minutes. From now. And then 11:20 East, 8:20 Vegas, strong time. The legendary Peter Vesey is back on the bench from Patreon. Great writer. And I got a lot to talk to him about tonight, including Isaiah Thomas, no love for LeBron, and the Lonzo Ball talk, and Dwayne Wade, and we'll get some inside skinny from Peter Vesey about the streetball legend who's been on my show, Blackjack Ryan, who I spoke with over the weekend, and he had torn his calf and was in Riverside, California, unable to play basketball. Very concerned about Blackjack's calf. Before that, the hammy, as Pharrell was doling out with Mafia 1,000 points on Saturday, my boy Blackjack was sitting on a bag of ice in Riverside, Cali. Mike Socha says Ohtani's main impact will be as a pitcher, and they'll try to work at bats in for him. And ownership group in Seattle has put in their $10 million down payment to bring hockey to the Pacific Northwest. All that and the winter games tonight, Sean White winning gold, all that tonight on the bench. No one hits more winners than Pharrell on thebench.com. It's that simple. What a deal. You get every pick, every sport, every game, every day. Let's check out the action for Wednesday in the NBA. Miami at Philly, Golden State at Portland, College Hoops, Vatek at Duke at Cameron, and Kentucky's at Auburn tomorrow night. Tomorrow night on the ice, three good games. Columbus at Toronto, Montreal and Rado against the Avs. Florida's at Vancouver. Don't forget Saturday on Showtime, Danny Garcia against Brandon Rios in boxing. You get MMA, daily fantasy rosters on PharrellOnTheBench.com. It really has it all. The site kicks ass and takes names. Sign up today. You won't regret it.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right. John Harper, the great writer from the New York Daily News, is in Tampa near Legends Field, where there's been some activity. The pitchers and catchers have reported. I saw CeCe throwing. The whole deal's happening. Aaron Boone is now the manager of the Yankees. And welcome to camp, Brian Cashman, as Goose Gossage has been lighting the air with expletive-filled tirades reminiscent of Pharrell at the basketball courts. John, that kind of behavior, apparently the Yankees have had enough.
Yeah, how you doing, Scotty?
Good, buddy.
Yeah, you know, this is actually, they kind of set the stage for this last year, and they told him, you know, Goose has become famous for these rants. And last year, he kind of went after Mariano Rivera, which is taboo in Yankee land. And they told him to knock it off, and I guess that was a warning that he didn't really take to heart. So they didn't invite him to camp this year, and he went off on Cashman, called him a lot of names, which, yeah, you know, basically also accused him of knowing nothing about baseball and a lot of things, which a few years ago, when Yankee fans were down on Cashman, you might have been able to get a lot of support for. But these days, Cashman, it's Cashman's whole world. He's made all the right moves the last couple of years, so it doesn't play as well. And I don't think Goose is getting a lot of sympathy for the comments. And it may even cost him, I heard today around the Yankees, just some Yankee people talking, it may even cost him the chance to go to Old Timers Day. So not sure where he stands with the Yankees right now.
Wow, that sounds like a mess. So how do you feel when you saw this talk in the last day or two about how they're the team to beat, allegedly, and that, you know, MLB Network, I know Chris Russo saying that they're the best team, basically, is what he said. And then Verlander laughed at that. And I got to tell you, I mean, I think the Yankees have all the talent in the world. There's no denying it. But I think the Astros are a better team. And I think the last I checked, they proved it last October.
No doubt. They deserve that respect to be called the team to beat, the Astros. They're a great young team. They're position players. Some of their position players are still getting better. And they added a guy like Gerrit Cole to a really strong rotation that Verlander only came over for the last month of the year. So, yeah, to me, they're the favorites. The Yankees, a lot of potential, but they really, other than getting Stanton, they haven't, nothing else has changed much since the end of last year. And Stanton obviously gives you a lot of power, but, he's one guy, and he's not necessarily going to be a huge difference maker. I think the Yankees could really use another starting pitcher. They were in on Darvish, but they're determined to stay under that luxury tax threshold. If they could have traded Ellsbury and somebody would have taken him for even half of his remaining salary, I think the Yankees would have signed Darvish. I think it's going to be a fun year, though, in the American League between them, the Astros. Don't forget the Indians. The Indians were the best team we thought going into the playoffs last year. And Corey Kluber, there's still a lot of talk in Cleveland. He had a bad factor in that series with the Yankees. Otherwise, who knows how that might have turned out. But you got to be excited if you're a Yankee fan, but I can't call them the favorites, no.
So you're John Harper with us, our good friend from the Daily News, great baseball writer. Do you think the Yankees, because you wrote about Arrieta, Lynn, and Cobb, Lance Lynn and Alex Cobb, now that they didn't want to go that deep with Darvish, are they willing to try any of those three?
Maybe, but it's even Lynn and Cobb, I think, are going to be a little bit out of their range in terms of what they can afford and be where Cashman is comfortable under the luxury tax. He wants to give himself room to make moves next July at the trade deadline and all that. So it depends where that market falls for one of those guys. I do know they like Cobb, but I would think it would have to be in the maybe $12 million a year range, and people still think Cobb's going to get more than that. So we'll see. I was kind of surprised. I thought he was going to go ahead and make that deal for Cole. He could have done it. He didn't want to give up a pitcher, one of his young pitchers, in addition to Clint Frazier. So they didn't make that deal. They got a solid rotation, but I still think they could use one more kind of top of the rotation guy if they're going to try and really win the World Series.
I got to tell you, the fact that Gerrit Cole went to the Astros, I think, makes them even more lethal. Now, the fact that John Harper with us, the Stanton went to the Yankees, and we all know the Judge Stanton thing. You're talking about him being rock stars. There's no denying it. I love the rest of that lineup as well, Gary Sanchez, you name it. Didi, I thought, had a career year. There's so many things to be excited about, but you're not serious that they could actually – with the countdown you wrote about Bryce Harper, that they could afford to have both of those guys on that team, Stanton and Harper?
Well, that'd be something. I think they're a lot more interested in Machado than Bryce Harper at this point. The whole thing is, if they get under that luxury tax and stay under this year, they reset their tax rate to like 20% as opposed to 50% right now, because they've been a repeat offender is not really the right word, but a repeat above the threshold for so many years. So once they do that, I think they will be in play for one of the big guys. It's just Machado is the guy that really fits them now at third base. They have this kid, Miguel Andujar, who they like, but they are really interested in Machado more so than Bryce Harper, because they got plenty of outfielders now. So I think that's a possibility, because if it wasn't for that, I think they would re-sign Todd Frazier to at least a kind of a two-year deal that the Mets signed him for. They weren't going to go more than 1 year, which is why Frazier ended up with the Mets.
So tell me about Andujar and Gleyber Torres, what their plans are for them right now out of the gates.
Well, I think they're going into camp kind of, with the idea of let's see what these kids can do. They love Andujar's bat. His glove is a little shaky. They're not sold on his defense. They love Torres. The kid, he's a really mature kid for his age, one of the top prospects in baseball. He really played like he belonged on the team last spring, but he didn't. He hadn't even been in Double A yet. Goes to Double A, playing well. Then he ends up hurting that elbow. He needed Tommy John because of a slide on his left arm. So it shouldn't be a problem. But he's only played a little bit. He only played a few games in Triple A before he got hurt there. So possibility he starts the season in Triple A. But they definitely see him as a second baseman of the future. Just at what point? Another kid named Tyler Wade they like a lot. But I still think Cashman, with this, so many of these free agents still out there, I still think there's a chance he brings in a veteran guy as insurance, because the expectations are so high for this team I'm not sure he's really willing to start the year with two rookies there in such key positions. So we'll see how that plays out.
John, let me ask you real quick about so how much time do you have tonight, John? First of all, let me ask you this question. Can you do another segment? Because I have so many baseball questions I want to ask you that if you only do one with me, I'm going to be highly disappointed in you.
No, I'm fine. Just keeping an eye on this Cavs game. They're blowing out
the
other.
I'm glad that John has action on the Cavs tonight while he's writing his baseball column. That just made my day. We'll come back and talk to John Harper about Mickey Callaway, Cab Callaway, over in Jay Berman's team's clubhouse, who today pronounced the Mets starting staff the greatest arms he's ever seen in his life. And your boy Carver High said that John will be traveling to St. Lonesome next week.
Port St. Lonesome.
Port St. Lonesome. We'll talk more baseball with John Harper. We got a lot going on here tonight, including later Peter Vesey.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, we're talking to John Harper, the great writer from the Daily News in New York. So, let's go. Like, your boy Carver High said you were going to go to Port St. Lonesome next week and cover Mickey Cab Calloway's Mets. Now, today he said that the staff was the greatest arms he has ever seen in his entire career of baseball. Like, he's never seen anything like it. We've heard that before, and I'm just saying, like, haven't we been hearing that the Mets have the greatest staff in baseball talent-wise, and then we all know what that's led to, nothing short of a train derailment.
Yeah, no doubt. And it wasn't that long ago, John Smoltz, I remember talking to him, and he was telling me they could be the best, go five deep, the best starting staff in the history of baseball, better than his Braves in the 90s. And, yeah, we all thought that a couple of years ago after they went to the World Series. But the reality is that, you know, these guys can't stay healthy, especially three of the guys, Wheeler, Harvey, and Matz. You know, and the funny thing is the five of those guys, including DeGrom and Syndergaard as well, they still have yet to ever take a turn, all five of them, in one, even one turn in a rotation. Because Wheeler was out for a couple of years when they went to the World Series. When he finally came back, Matz was out, Harvey was out. So they've yet to get those five in there. The potential is still there, and that's what Callaway was talking about. Just, yeah, you watch these guys throw the bullpens. The arms, they have such live power arms, the ball really pops. It is something to see in spring training. But it doesn't do any good if they can't stay healthy. And beyond that, Harvey, it's more than just health with him. He came back. He was throwing 95, 96 last year. After that thoracic outlet surgery, he could not throw the ball where he wanted to. That's the problem with that thing. So with that coming off that surgery, so who knows what he's going to be? It is, you know, if it ever falls into place, they could be a team that could make another run at the playoffs in the World Series. But you at this point, you can't trust them. That's why I've been saying for all the off season, I thought they needed to sign a guy like Lance Lynn, giving them kind of a stabilizer in that rotation, but they don't want to spend that money on him.
Do you think, so as far as Harvey goes, did all of the, and we know the injuries, so I'll give you that, and I respect that, you know, these things happen, and he definitely has had the problems with injuries.
Well, he's got other issues, too, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's where I'm headed. I like those other issues. Do you believe that he's, that the fame and the whole ridiculous Dark Knight nonsense, all this, you know, back pages and just red carpet and who he's dating and, you know, he's Mr. Manhattan and all this other nonsense. Do you think that all caught up with him and that it's ruined his career so far?
Well, I don't know about ruined it. I think the injuries are the biggest part, but no doubt it went to his head. He was living the life of a guy you thought was a three-time Cy Young winner there, and he hadn't accomplished nearly that much or really anything like that. He was, he was doing some stupid things right from the start when he was hurt early, going to see Jeter's game at Yankee Stadium when the Mets were playing, things like that. And then last year, of course, you know, he doesn't show up at the stadium one day because he's, you know, I guess because he was all worked up over the model break, the supermodel breaking up with him. He's got a lot of issues, but I do think
he was hammered. That's what he was. He was hammered. All my friends at Liberty National told me he was hammered.
You're right. There's no doubt. But I think he's been embarrassed and humbled to the point where that he knows that stuff is mine, and he can't live the life of a celebrity or star when he's got a 6 ERA. So this is the year he's got to do it if he's ever going to do it, because he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. He's looking for that contract that he once thought was going to be a couple hundred million, and now he may not get anything like that. So you're going to get the best of him this year. I think you're going to get an absolute determined. He's in shape from what I've heard. We'll see if he can go ahead and do it, or if those surgeries have just combined to make him a mediocre pitcher at this point.
Do you believe the whole Callaway thing? Are you a buyer or seller of this guy that got the job? Like, I like his approach, his accountability, blame me if we don't win, all that nonsense. But do you think they made a good choice?
I do. I sat down with him a couple times. He's a pretty impressive guy. And look, if you're going to take a chance on anybody, why not be a successful pitching coach? Because it's all about, as we just talked about, it's all about the pitching for the Mets. And he's also bringing over the Indians are one of the more forward-thinking teams in terms of injury prevention, and they were just doing a lot of things that the Mets, for some reason, were not doing. Callaway's talked about some of the stuff they're going to do there, and who knows, maybe it'll make a difference, maybe it won't, but at least they're putting the best possible operation in place now to keep these guys healthy. You know, last year, I mean, the Mets were not on top of these things. You know, they let Syndergaard try and be a muscle man in the off season and wound up putting himself in a position where he tore his lat. They let Cespedes be a guy who wanted to leg press 1,000 pounds. You know, he ends up hamstrings and quad pulls, and it turns out then they finally started looking into it. He was a guy, an elite athlete, who wasn't even drinking water. He wasn't hydrated, so that was part of his problem. So I think they're finally getting into this medical stuff the right way, and Callaway's a big part of it. I do think he gives them the best chance to win here.
So let me ask you about a couple other guys around the league. John Heyman, the great writer from the Daily News, back on the bench. John Harper, what did I say?
Heyman.
Oh, well, I was going to talk about Heyman's story. That's why I got – listen, I got early Alzheimer's, all right? So not making light of that. But as you know, John, I have many issues in life, and one of which is not – I would never disrespect you. But my question was about Heyman's article. Heyman wrote an article about two things. One, the Levinson charges last night against these two brothers. And then secondly, his piece – and your opinions of it, frankly, is what I'm looking for, John Harper, about, and I apologize, and Carver High punched me in the shoulder in the break. Like, remember when you were a kid? Like, remember in Christmas Story, the kid punched him in the shoulder, and then he was like, it didn't hurt him. And then the second time he did, he's like, oh. So, J.D. Martinez, do you believe his piece that the Diamondbacks are actually trying to steal him back from, you know, this whole lingering contract squabble, if you will, with the Red Sox, that they've never been able to ink him?
I do think there's a chance there. Hey, listen, Boris is the agent here. From what I've heard, he promised J.D. Martinez, you know, $200-plus million. He can't deliver that for him. He doesn't want to budge on what the Red Sox are offering, which to me, 5 years, $125 million, which is supposed to be the offer. I mean, that's pretty good for J.D. Martinez, a guy who's not really a good outfielder. Obviously, hits a lot of home runs. But I do think the Diamondbacks might be able to jump in, offer him maybe a shorter-term deal with more money per year, with opt-outs, those type of things, so they don't get locked in to a 6 or 7 year deal, which is what he's looking for. I think it's possible because he's not getting that. I don't think anybody's giving him that 7 year deal. So, and it doesn't sound like anybody besides the Red Sox is out there with even the 5 year deal. So maybe the Diamondbacks could steal him. He knows it's a great place to hit. I mean, he hit, he hit more home runs per at bat than Judge or Stanton when he was in Arizona last year. So maybe they could do it.
So how do you feel about this whole Ohtani thing? Well, Socha's saying that he's going to pitch and that they'll try to find him at bats. So which is it?
I think that he's got to be a pitcher first. I mean, that's what you're paying the big bucks for. Maybe he can hit two as a DH. I think he could do it maybe a couple times a week. But look, the Angels have offense. It's pitching they need. It's high-end pitching. If he can turn out to be an ace, they have a chance to be a legit contender. If he's just kind of a run-of-the-mill pitcher, they don't have nearly enough pitching, I don't think, to contend. So I can see where Sosa's coming from. They got to find out if he can be an ace. And if he can hit, yeah, nice, though. Maybe they'll try and keep him happy by giving him some at-bats. But I don't really think that's what they're all that concerned about.
Do you how do you feel? And I ask this respectfully. I don't want to get – because Carver Hyde has warned me. He said, don't go there. And I'm going to go there anyway. How do you feel about has like the Athletic tried to steal you away from the Daily News like they have every other baseball writer in the country?
No, I think I'm past the age of stealing. But it was almost 30 years ago. The National tried to steal me from the
right.
I was at the Post at the time.
I love that paper.
Yeah, this is the modern day version of the National. It's all digital. It's all online now. So. Maybe, hey, listen, it's good for our business because it's creating jobs for sports writers, baseball writers, that and they're on it. You know, jobs are going by the wayside in recent years by newspapers. So I'm all for it. Competition is good, and they're getting some good writers. But I'm willing to finish out my time at the Daily News here.
Good.
I'm getting toward the finish line.
Good. If I didn't read your stuff in the Daily News, I think I'd stop having it delivered to my driveway. I've had it delivered to my driveway basically ever since I've lived here over 20 years. Let me ask you this.
I appreciate the support, Scotty. We need that.
Well, of course I get the Daily News delivered to my driveway. How do you feel about, the fact that, like, the Boston Herald got sold? I know you heard about that today. That do you believe that they'll, like, keep the paper going and keep all those writers, or do you think they'll screw them?
It's hard to say when a new company takes over. Usually it means cuts are coming. That's kind of the history of most of these companies. Or, you know, the new trend is a lot of places are going strictly or at least lining up to go strictly digital and stop with the actual paper. I hope that doesn't happen. There are some good writers there. I have some friends there, so I'm hoping they do stay in business. I can't imagine a town like Boston without real competition between newspapers. That wouldn't be good for. There's just so much, so much frenzy for sports up there that they need all the coverage they can get.
Do you miss doing television with me when I used to get under Bill Madden's skin, and then I'd go out and eat dinner with him in the city? He loved me, but whenever I was on TV, I made his face turn purple.
A couple other guys, I think you did that too. Yeah, you got to. Why aren't you on? They ought to bring you back. Do a little Daily News Live, a little Loudmouth.
Yeah,
get
sure.
Get you back on there.
Sure. Yeah. Listen, last but not least, I got 30 seconds. Do you think you could beat up John Heyman in a fight if I, like, set it up, like in a street, like in a schoolyard?
Well, I used to play some basketball against John. I think it could take him one-on-one. He's kind of slowed down. He's got a height advantage, so he might back me down. But I still got the clip.
Listen, I'm going to school both of you in basketball. I'm dropping 20 a clip, and you won't even shoot if I'm guarding you. John, great stuff. Thanks for coming on the bench and doing a double shot tonight. I'll catch up with you maybe next week as we get into spring training more.
You got it, Scotty. Good talking.
All right, there he is. John Harper, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Wow. Coming up, Peter Vesey later in the second hour. We got a great show for you tonight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.